Hello, saints. Good to be back with you again on this cold morning. Let's go to the Lord. Father God, we just praise you and we glorify you, Lord. We thank you for the things that you're doing and you're teaching us how to speak faith, profess faith for our family and our friends and our loved ones. And we ask, Father, that you anoint us today to get this wonderful word out about having faith for our family and our loved ones. Thank you, Father, for doing this in Jesus' name. Well, that's what I want to talk to you about today, is having faith for our family. You know, the Lord expects us to use our faith. And what I'm fixing to share with you today is that he wants us to express our faith in the words that we speak concerning our family and concerning those loved ones that we prayed for, and concerning all the people that we are praying for. He wants us to express our faith, to confess our faith. And we have the authority to do that. Now let's look at Proverbs 11 and 21. Though hand join in hand, the evil man shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. The seed of the righteous shall be delivered. And it also means escaped, or saved, and on and on. And it's one of those real broad words. The seed of the righteous shall be saved, they shall be delivered, they shall escape, they shall be blessed, in other words. Well, who are the seeds of the righteous? And what is the seeds of the righteous? Is the flesh man the seed of the righteous? Is he talking about the fleshly children that we have? Or is he talking about the spiritual children that we have? Is he talking about the spiritual man in the children that we're bringing forth? Or is he talking about that flesh and blood? That flesh and blood really is just a means to an end. It's not the ultimate. The ultimate, of course, is the spiritual man that's growing on the inside. And how do we cooperate with God in bringing to life that spiritual man? Well, of course, it's with the words that we speak. It's the words that we confess. The born-again man is not born again by flesh. And as Nicodemus found out, it was through words. Jesus, born from above, the Word of God that came down out of heaven that gives life to the world. Jesus said he was that word. And in the parable of the sower, he sowed the seed by speaking the word. And that seed went into hearts, recreated himself in them, and brought forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. That's the seed of the righteous. Well, what is the seed of the spiritual man, the righteous man? What is the things that you speak and confess? Whether they're into your children, or whether they're into your wife, or whether it's into your husband, or whether it's into the people around you. That's the seed of the righteous in a spiritual way in the New Testament. Does that also include our children? Yeah, it does. But we need to cooperate with God in the things that we say over our children. Because Proverbs 18 and 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about spiritual death, or spiritual life is in the power of the tongue. And as we as sons of the last Adam, Jesus Christ, learn to bring forth our children in the same way he does, by speaking those words into people, confessing those words into people. Jesus said his words were spirit and they were life. Of course, they were his spirit and his life, and he spoke them into people and it brought forth his life in them. We've got this same authority with our children. Over in James chapter 3, it talks about the power of the tongue. And it talks about the man who stumbles not in word being a perfect man. and he's able to bridle the whole body because his tongue is in agreement with God's word. He's able to bring it under submission. That's the same thing. When we speak the word of God into other people, it empowers them to have victory over the flesh and to rule over the flesh. He talks about the tongue being like the rudder of a ship. A very small rudder, but it turns a very big ship. And our tongue, if we'll speak the word of God and agree with the word of God, it'll turn that ship around. It will turn the ship of our house around. He also said that the tongue had the power to set on fire the cycle of life or the wheel of nature, which is sowing and reaping. Your tongue has the power to destroy you, bring you into more and more corrupt situations. Verse 8, in James chapter 3 says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is a restless evil. It is full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we the Lord and Father, and therewith curse we men who are made after the likeness of God. When you don't believe the word of God, you have the ability to curse men with your tongue. What we need to do is to sow the word of the gospel in people because it encourages them. It puts faith in them. It puts hope in them. It causes the cycle of life or the wheel of nature to be upward instead of downward. And we need to do this with our children, and we need to do this with people we want to be saved, and we need to speak what we have prayed for these people. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them, and you shall have them. What you're praying for your children, you need to be speaking over. Or your grandparents, or your parents, or your spouse. What you're praying for them is what you need to be speaking to them. And God will cause that to go into their heart and encourage them and put faith in them. Faith is what you need to receive the nature of Jesus Christ. Repentance is a change of mind, but faith is believing what God says, especially the good news, the promises of God. We have to major on God's promises and not major on the bad news. And that don't have any power of salvation at all is the bad news. James chapter 3 and verse 10 says, out of the mouth can come forth blessings and cursings. And my brethren, these things ought not to be. Doth the fountain send forth from the same opening sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, yield olives or vine figs? Neither can salt water yield sweet. So the sweet waters of God's word needs to be going forth out of our mouth. We agree with what the word of God says about our children. And we notice that God promised household salvation to those that believe. That was the condition. To those that believe. So as we believe what God says about this precedent that he's put in the word of household salvation, and we begin to speak it, in other words, let our tongue be connected to our faith, not to what we see with our natural eyes, but with what we see with our spiritual eyes, we will see that God will turn things around. And yes, we will go through a trial, and they're going to try us, and with our natural eyes, we'll see their foolishness, their mistakes, their failures. But don't let that drag you down, because you don't walk by sight, do we? We walk by faith. So continue to believe and speak the word of God and be that vessel through whom the living waters of God's word can go forth. Revelation 22 says this, and this is a picture of the church. People want to put this away out in the future, but actually, this is a picture of those people who are walking as sons of God now. Verse 1 of Revelation 22 says, and he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Well, the water of life, the river of living water. What did Jesus say about the river of living water? John 7:38 says, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him were to receive. How does the Spirit come out of us as the river of living water? Well, it comes out in the form of words, right? The words of the Spirit are living waters. It says it proceeds out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Well, where's that? Well, the throne of God is our heart. The Lord is enthroned in the Holy of Holies. In the Old Testament, as a type and a shadow. Then there was a holy place, and then there was the outer court. And we, walking, are a picture of the tabernacle. Individually, we are a tabernacle, and our Holy of Holies is our spirit. And inside there, God's got his throne. The mercy seat is there where God's presence is between the angels of God. Out of there flows the word of God by the Spirit of God. Well, how does that happen? Well, it comes to pass because we repent and we believe the word of God. We make it our words. We make it our thoughts. So what comes out of us is not necessarily quoting the word of God, but it is the word of God because we have this renewed mind. And what's coming out of our renewed mind is renewed words. When we believe what God says about household salvation, and we can agree with that and speak it and confess it, God is able to bring it to pass because these rivers of living water do what? Well, Revelation 22:2 says, in the midst of the street thereof, and on this side of the river, and on that was the tree of life, bearing 12 manner of fruits, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So the tree of life, flowing past the tree of life, is a river of living water. In Proverbs 15:4, we're told the healing of the tongue is a tree of life. So now, you got the waters flowing over the tongue to heal the nations. The word nations there is the Gentiles, the heathen. In other words, God's word coming out of us, it's going to bring healing to them. Does it do it suddenly? Not usually, but it can. The thing is, we have to continue to walk by faith. And we need to continue to confess what the Bible says about them. And what the Bible says about us. These rivers of living water flow out over the tongue, which is the tree of life, and therefore the healing of the nations. Revelation 22:3, and there shall be no curse anymore. Glory be to God. The rivers of living water are to do away with the curse. And if you don't know what the curse is, just take a look around you. You can see what the curse is. All the detrimental things that have ever happened to man, that's the curse. Contrary to what the Bible calls a blessing. In Deuteronomy 18, he tells you what the blessings are, and he tells you what the cursings are. And the cursings are just the opposite of the blessings, right? When we begin to agree with God and let his word flow out of us, that's for the healing of the lost around us. And it's going to bring forth his fruit. Did Jesus believe in blessing people in that way? What Jesus did was an example to us. He's not only the Son of God, he is the pattern for the sons of God. He was the firstborn among many brethren, the Bible says. Mark 10:13-16. And they were bringing unto him little children that he should touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was moved with indignation, and he said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me. Now, you know that we can all be little children, spiritually speaking. It's not just physical little children, but spiritual little children that God blesses. Suffer the little children to come unto me, forbid them not, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall in no wise enter therein. Verse 16. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them. He blessed them by laying his hands upon him. Can Jesus in us do the same thing? Some people say that was just Jesus. Well, Jesus lives in me, don't he? He lives in you. And if the Word of God lives in you, to what extent the Word of God lives in you, to that extent, Jesus lives in you. And that's to the extent you're submitted unto him, he lives in you. He in you is the one that does the work anyway. He's the one who lives as a Christian. He's the one that does the work. Jesus is the one. We give all the credit to him. So he can bless the children. He can lay hands on the children and bless them. Well, what is it to bless our children? First of all, it's to believe the prayers that we have prayed for them. We need to believe what we have prayed for, and we need to agree with it. James 2 and 17 says, faith without works is dead. And if you truly do believe what you have prayed for them, believe you have received, then that's what you need to begin to speak. And God will bring it to pass. And we've got many examples in the scriptures of those things. Look in Genesis 9, chapter 9 and verse 20. Here's a twofold example of this, both a good example and a bad example. Genesis 9, 20. And Noah began to be a husbandman and planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. What is it for Ham to see the nakedness of his father, his uncovered father? That was speaking about the old man, getting your eyes on the old man. And the Bible speaks about that in James chapter 1 and verse 23. It says basically that if you see your natural face in the mirror, in other words, your old sinful self in the mirror, he says you're just going to be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. And there ain't no power in that. Basically, when you do that, you're cursing your fruit. When you get your eyes on what you are in the physical and not what God says you are in the spiritual by his promises. Ham got his eyes on the nakedness of the old man. So nakedness is a revelation of sin. When Adam and Eve got the revelation that they were sinners, they realized that they were naked. That's what it represents. And when Ham did this, Genesis 9:22, and told his two brethren without, and Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it upon both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. In other words, they didn't look upon the nakedness of their father. They got their eyes the very opposite direction of the nakedness of their old man. It says, their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. Verse 24, and Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done unto him. So basically, Shem and Japheth, their eyes were in the opposite direction. And that's where our eyes ought to be. When you look at your natural face in the mirror, you're going to be cursed. You're not going to have any power. And all you're going to be is a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. But if you behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, which is the gospel, then you don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. Then we're looking in the opposite direction of the nakedness of the old man. They were blessed. We'll see in Noah's blessings and curses, Genesis 9:25, it says, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants will he be unto his brother. Well, why did he curse Canaan? Why didn't he curse Ham? Because Canaan is Ham's fruit. If you get your eyes on the old man, you're cursing your fruit. And if you get your eyes on the old man of your children, of your wife, if you get your eyes on the old man, you're going to curse your fruit. What you have to do is believe in faith and do what the Lord demonstrated for us, who calls the things that be not as though they were, who believed that they received, Romans 4:17. We need to believe we have received what we prayed for. In other words, we get our eyes off the things that are and get our eyes on what God promised. Folks, that's how faith works. Faith is a victory that overcomes the world. We need to put faith in our loved ones and in our family to see themselves as the Bible says they are. There has to be a correction. That's part of it. But blessing can be twofold. Number one, it can be revealing to people who they are in God and who God says they are, and helping them to believe that they are who God says they are. And number two, correction. Correction is a blessing. Did you hear me? Correction is a blessing, and it is not a part of the curse. Correction is necessary. If a person doesn't correct their child, the Bible says they hate their child. There has to be correction. Noah was in a bad state there. He was blessing and cursing out of the same mouth. He was drunk. He was out of touch with reality. He was the basic cause of this problem. There's a lot of people in the church today that are drunk. They're out of touch with reality. And I'm talking about spiritual heavenly reality. We need to have our minds renewed to find out what reality really is. And Noah said in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 26, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem." Well, Shem means name. It's the Old Testament word for name. The people of the name, the Shemites, you know, the Jews, the people of the name. These were the blessed of the Lord. And in this case, Shem was turned around backwards, and he backed in there and didn't get his eyes on the old man. He was looking off in the opposite direction, and he said, "Let Canaan be his servant." Over the centuries, that is exactly what happened. They conquered the Canaanites and enslaved them. God enlarged Japheth and let him dwell in the tents of Shem. Here is a guy coming out of a drunk, and he's making these blessings and cursings, and they came to pass. They all came to pass. God did enlarge Japheth and let him to dwell in the tents of Shem. The Gentiles received salvation and entered into the kingdom. And he said, "Let Canaan be his servant." That happened too. And we know something about this particular curse, and that is that Jesus broke this curse for all that believe in him. Galatians 3:13. He became a curse for us that we might have Abraham's blessings. So God took our curse, put it on the Lord Jesus, and this is that part of the curse that was put on the Lord Jesus. And some of you might be saying, "Well, am I still under this?" No, you're not. Not if you're a believer. But if you're not a believer, then yes, you're still under the curse of this world, all of them, because you're still under the God of this world. So we have to repent. We have to change our mind. We have to believe what the gospel says concerning us. Now let's jump over to Genesis 27. Here we got Isaac was getting old and his eyesight was dim, and he decided he didn't know how much longer he had, so he was calling in his son Esau, his firstborn, in order to give him the blessing. But if you remember, before this, Esau sold his birthright as the firstborn to Jacob because he didn't think much of it. It meant very little to him. So Jacob ended up with the birthright of the firstborn. And folks, that's a spiritual type for us too. But now Esau wanted to claim the blessing of the firstborn, but he had sold his position of the firstborn. So Rebekah, his mother and the mother of Jacob, heard the conversation between Isaac and Esau, when he called Esau in, and she decided to scheme with her son Jacob, and that word, that name Jacob means supplanter, to deceive Isaac into blessing Jacob instead of Esau. Now, that's the background of the story that we're looking at here. The thing about it is that when God's people were in Egypt, he cursed the firstborn of Egypt and he blessed the firstborn of Israel. Egypt represented the old man, and God's not going to accept that which is born of the old man in the kingdom of heaven whatsoever. It says flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But he has blessed the spiritual man, who is the Israelite, the firstborn. And he declared the Israelite, the firstborn of Israel, was his. That was his chosen possession. But he totally rejected the firstborn of Egypt. 1 Corinthians 15:45. So also it is written, the first man Adam became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Howbeit, that is not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Then, that which is spiritual. What's born first? The firstborn is a natural man. And then, that which is spiritual. So the secondborn, or the born-again man, is a spiritual man. Verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, that's the firstborn, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. That's the secondborn, or the born-again man. That's the man that's blessed. And that's the man that's chosen of God. Well, back in our text, what Isaac was attempting to do was bless the firstborn, which was their custom back then, but God changed that custom. Not only with Isaac, but also with Jacob, as we're going to see a little bit later. God's plan was to give the secondborn the firstborn's blessing. What man did to bless the firstborn, God annulled. He even used this to give Jacob the firstborn blessing. And he's doing that today, folks. What's firstborn in you is the natural man. That's not the chosen man. In the Old Testament, Israel was the natural man, not the born-again man. That wasn't God's chosen people. Those people, the Bible tells us very plainly, had to hear the gospel from Jesus, who went and preached to the spirits in prison, and he took captivity captive. And that's the righteous who believed the gospel that Jesus preached to, the souls in prison. He took captivity captive, and he took them to heaven. They had to be born from above by the word of God. And they were in a meantime state. They were living the letter and not the spirit. They were the natural man. They were not the spiritual man. The second man is the spiritual man, and that's the church. Now, every Jew has to be born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus. They must be born again. They have to be born of the second Adam. That's the creation that God demands for his kingdom. And he's not going to accept a person who's born of the first Adam. The natural man is first. The spiritual man is second. The born again man, the second man, is the one that God has chosen. Matthew 20:16. So the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Then that was true of both Israel and the church. And it's true in us, speaking of the natural man and the spiritual man. The first in the kingdom, the greatest in the kingdom, is the last. The first has to die. God sent the judgment, the Passover judgment, in Egypt to destroy the firstborn of Egypt. And that's the natural man. The Passover passed over the Israelites and spared the firstborn of Israel, the spiritual man, the one that God had chosen to be his. And he tells us that in Exodus 13, that these are mine, says the Lord. So I need to point out to you how important it is what we say over people. First of all, think about it. Why did Jacob and Rebekah go to so much trouble to deceive Isaac into saying these few words over Jacob? Why was it so important to them? Well, they knew something there that a lot of Christians today don't know, that the patriarch of the family, the husband, the dad, has authority to speak the blessing over the children, or the cursing like Noah did. He could speak the blessing, or he can speak the cursing. Well, can't mom do that? Well, of course mom can. But the Bible says that if mom says something that's contrary to the word of God, that can be annulled by the father, by the husband, and by the dad. He has the ultimate authority in the household. And folks, it's still that way today. I don't care if you believe it or not. I do. You should care and repent, because the Bible is very plain that the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. And God's not going to change his mind for anybody. He ain't going to do that. You either submit to him or go your own way with the Jezebel doctrines of today. At any rate, why was it so important that they would go to such strange depths to try to deceive Isaac into blessing Jacob? And that was God's plan from the beginning, if you don't know. Because they knew that there was something powerful in what this man was going to say in his blessings. Now, do we have to wait until the end of our life to do it? No, we do it every day. We do it all the time. We do it when we speak of our children and our family, and when we give the report to people who ask us about our children and our family. We say these things all the time, and sometimes we just need to repent and agree with the Word of God. Now, let me read a little bit of this story to show you how important it is. For one thing, Jacob was a little worried. He told his mom, well, suppose he finds out our lies and speaks a cursing on me instead of a blessing. He said that in verse 12 because that was a possibility and he worried about it. Some people don't think that we have the power out of the same well to speak sweet waters and bitter. And it did say, we just read it there, James 3, that we bless God and at the same time we curse men. We have the authority to do that. And they knew that. They believed that in their day. The strange thing is the church doesn't believe that today. What are we going to do with our children? They are so rebellious. They are so this or they are so that. Correcting them is good, but at the same time we need to tell them, look, this is who you are. This is who you were chosen to be. This is what God did for you. And we can do like Jesus said, and we can lay hands on them, and we can pray for them. And God's going to hear our words of faith. Genesis 27 and 18 says, and he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? Because obviously he was blind. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. Well, there's the deception right there. He goes on and says, I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison. And of course, it was an old goat, but apparently they dressed it up pretty good, right? That thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God sent me good speed. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Well, it seems like Isaac was suspicious, wasn't he? The voice wasn't quite the same. Verse 22, and Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. That's because they had wrapped goat skin around his arms. Verse 23, and he discerned him not because his hands were hairy as his brother's Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. And God give thee of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and new wine. And let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let my mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be every one that blesses thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. Well, that's quite a blessing that he had put on him, wasn't it? What are we to do? Are we to bless the natural man and the carnal man, or are we to bless the spiritual man? Some people, the only thing they are after for their children is the physical blessings of this world. That's what the world calls blessings. But God chose those that are rich in faith and poor to the world to be heirs to the kingdom. And sometimes the things that we pray upon our children or the band of our children as far as their education is because we want them to be successful in the world. And yet in some cases, this is the very thing that can be a curse to them. Riches and education. Do you know how many Christian children get a higher education and they turn away from the Lord and never go back? Is it really that important? Or is the most important thing the spiritual man? Do we want to speak blessings on the spiritual man or the carnal man, the natural man? Well, the point is, it's the second man, the spiritual man, that's entitled to these blessings. It is the creation of the Son of God out of heaven that is entitled to these blessings, not the carnal man. If you give the carnal man all he wants, you're just feeding him and making him stronger. Paul said he buffeted his body, brought it under submission, lest he, after he preached to others, would himself be a castaway and rejected. The Greek word there is adokamos, reprobate. So basically, we need to be careful of the things that we desire for our children. Do we desire them because we are competing with the world and we want to see them successful in the world? Folks, that's not the people that God chooses. The spiritual man is the most important. That's the one that we need to be blessed. And of course, what Isaac wanted to do was bless the old man. He wanted to bless the carnal man, the man of the world. But God said, no, the one you're going to bless is Jacob. And God gave Jacob the new name Israel. He's going to rule as God. So he gave him that name. He was the one that God ordained to be blessed and even used this trickery here and this foolishness to do it. How many of you know that God is sovereign? Now, he doesn't necessarily approve of man's methods, but he'll use them. And he doesn't use them as a vessel of honor. He uses them more likely as a vessel of dishonor. Jacob and Rebekah's deception was wrong, but God used it for his glory. And it's the same way today. God's interested in the blessing of the spiritual man. The man who is growing on the inside of you. The born again man. The born of heaven man. The man who is born out of heaven. That's the word of God living in them. Now let's read on here. We see here, just as Jacob was leaving, here comes Esau. And listen to how important this blessing is, and listen to the cry here. And think about it. It's just as important to your children, to your parents, and to your family. Genesis 27:31, and he also made savory food, brought it unto his father, and he said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto them, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly. Well, as you can see, this wasn't just a ceremony to them, was it? It said he trembled exceedingly. Isaac was afraid of what he thinks he had done here. He hadn't missed God, but he was afraid because he knew that he had done something wrong here. And said, "Who then is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed." It wasn't like something that could be taken back. It doesn't seem like, was it? So who was it that snuck in there and took your blessing? He was very worried because he knew he wasn't going to be able to change it. Verse 34, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceeding great and bitter cry. How valuable this blessing was. And yet everything that happened to them is for our admonition upon whom the end of the ages have come. These things are types and shadows of us. And how is this fulfilled in our life? In the same way we are able, we are capable as believers. We have the authority to bless those who have not yet been blessed. We have the authority to use our words, believe the gospel, speak faith into people who have not yet known the Lord, and bring them into the kingdom and make them inheritors of the blessings that God has given to us, which is exactly what is seen here. He cried with an exceeding great and bitter cry and said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." 35, and he said, "Thy brother came with guile and hath taken away thy blessing." Well, it's true today, folks. The one that is truly going to be blessed is the second born. The man who is born from above, the spiritual man. He's going to be blessed in all the blessing that would have been heaped upon the carnal man. They plundered the Egyptians when they went out into the wilderness. What the Egyptians considered theirs invaluable was all for the benefit of the spiritual man. They gave it to the spiritual man who went out into the wilderness. Y'all remember what Joshua and Caleb said about the giants in the land, don't you? They said, they are just bread for us, just bread. And what do you think about what they meant by that? Well, they were what God was going to use to make the spiritual man grow. The carnal man is necessary, but his need doesn't last forever. We will grow on them as the outer man is decaying. The inner man is being renewed day by day, it says. Genesis 27 and 36, it says, and he said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times." Well, as you know, the spiritual man is the supplanter because he's taken the place of the carnal man. And you know the Canaanites were conquered by the Israelites, the carnal man. This man that we live in here, he's dying daily and the spiritual man is taking over the house. He's ruling in his house, raising his crop. He's taken over. He's the supplanter. The blessing is upon the supplanter. God has blessed our spiritual man to conquer and take over this house. If you believe it, and if you speak it, and if you agree with it, praise God. Are you willing to bless the spiritual man? Are the rivers of living water flowing forth over the tongue of the tree of life to give healing to the nations? He has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. Actually, he sold his birthright. And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" In other words, he was desperate to receive the blessings of the Father. You know, in some cases, I feel like our children sometimes are desperate to receive the blessing from us. Their spiritual man is hungry and thirsting for something and sometimes not receiving that from the parents. And we need to remember what we prayed and speak what we prayed and lay hands and pray and believe over them as Jesus taught us. God's going to hear your prayers. And he'll accept the authority that you have over your children. Genesis 27:37 says, "And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with grain and new wine have I sustained him. And what then shall I do for thee, my son?" In other words, what Jacob inherited from Isaac was everything. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob passed on the lineage of the Father of God himself to their chosen seed. And it's the same today. We've inherited everything from our Father. All these blessings. Seeing that God has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness, we need to see with our spiritual eyes that God has given us all this great inheritance, and we have the authority to pass it on. That's what he was doing. He was passing it on. And he passed it on to the spiritual man. It wasn't the man that Isaac loved the most. That was a problem. That was his problem. But it was the one that God loved the most. Romans 9:13 says, "Even as it is written, Jacob I love, but Esau I hate." If you don't agree with God hating, you don't agree with the word of God. God hates the carnal man. He's the enemy of God, the Bible says. God's not going to accept him into the kingdom because he has to lose his life. You have to sacrifice his life, and you as a priest of God have to sacrifice his life in order that the spiritual man might live. And remember, the inner man is only taking over what the outer man has given up because they both occupy the same territory there. Somebody's got to lose. And when they went into the promised land, the old man had to lose that promised land in order for the spiritual man to take it. Folks, you can't live on the fence. You can't live a lukewarm life. You have to sacrifice the continual burnt offering of the old beast of flesh on the altar of God's trials. It says, "I sustained him, and what then shall I do for thee, my son?" Verse 38, "And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father." In desperation, this was valuable. And they knew it was valuable. But the Christians today don't know that. Today we have the authority to bless and we have the authority to curse too. It says, "What you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." God has given authority into your hand, and you can use that authority wrongly. So we have to be careful, because in Proverbs 18:21 again says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." We have to be careful. "And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, of the fatness of the earth shall be thy dwelling, and of the dew of heaven from above." Now some versions say, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall be thy dwelling, and away from the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword thou shalt live, and thou shalt serve thy brother." It's ordained that the carnal man serve the spiritual man. In our life, that's what has to happen. If not, we're going to be rejected from the kingdom of God. "And if you walk after the flesh, you must die," it says. "But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live." It's ordained that the old man serve the spiritual man. If he doesn't, you're walking after the flesh. In other words, that spiritual man is made to serve the carnal man. That man will die according to the word of God. Believe it or not, he'll be twice dead and plucked up by the roots, just like Jude says. "And by thy sword shalt thou live, and thou shalt serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass, when thou shalt break loose, that thou shalt shake his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob." And as you know, it's always been that way. The carnal man has persecuted, according to Paul in Galatians, the spiritual man. Cain killed Abel. But God replaced Abel with Seth because Seth represents the born-again man. When Cain killed Abel, why did God replace Abel instead of just giving him another son? When we were raised up from our youth, we began to walk contrary to our spirit, and we put our spirit to death. The old man put to death the spiritual man. Then when we are born again, God gives us a new spirit. And that new spirit is to replace the spirit that we put to death. What God is doing in Seth is the Son of God. That's why Seth had to replace Abel. Praise be to God. God's got awesome truths hidden in His Word, folks. And that's just for us to dig around in those nuggets and find them and enjoy them. And there's always an exhortation for our life to know and to understand what God wants done. So now we see that we need to bless the spiritual man in our children and in our wives and in our lost loved ones around us. And we need to let those rivers of living waters flow out of our mouth. Confess it. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So we have authority to also send forth the words of spirit and life into the hearts of our children. Don't be discouraged what you see. Don't be moved by what you see in your natural. But don't be double-minded. Hold fast to the confession of your hope that it waver not, because He is faithful, that promise. So we just need to speak it and believe it. And when these blessings were spoken, if you remember, they didn't come to pass immediately. For Noah or for Isaac, they didn't come to pass immediately, but eventually they did. And that's the way it is with us. We have to hold fast to our confession. And there's a lot of parents out there that are probably feeling guilty that their children, after they raised them the best they could, or in some cases they didn't know Christ, so they couldn't raise them the best they could, are basically gone astray and not seemingly interested in Christianity. But I want you to cheer up, folks, because God's got His own prodigal son, doesn't He? And that doesn't bring any guilt upon Him, does it? He's a good father. He knows what He's doing. Even in the part about the children going astray, the Lord knows what He's doing. So you just need to continue to put your prayers before God and to hold fast the confession of your hope that it waver not, because He is faithful, that promise. Continue to not walk by sight. And don't pay attention to what they're doing now. Just believe you have received, as Jesus taught us in Mark 11:24. "Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them, and you shall have them." Hold fast to your confession, because it's not according to your works, it's according to God's works. He gave you grace, He'll give them grace. And we're coming to a time when their deliverance is coming. Their salvation is coming in these days. And just as God gave you grace, He's going to give them grace. Well, God bless you. I'm out of time. We'll see you next time, God willing.